Tiferes Yisrael Perek Tesvav. Okay, let's learn about Olam Haba. Let's learn about Olam Haba, and let's learn about Olam Haba in three dimensions. Let's learn about Olam Haba from the perspective of Hashem. Let's learn about Olam Haba from the perspective of ourselves. And let's learn about Olam Haba from the perspective of Olam Haba. But first, a well-known teaching from Maseches Sanhedrin. Beperek Basra the Sanhedrin, in the last chapter of Sanhedrin, we learn, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba. All right, that's good news. Every Jew is going to be granted a portion in the world to come. If we stop there, everything is nice and cheery. Ve'elu she'ein lahem chelek l'olam haba. But there are those who, unfortunately, lose their portion in the world to come. They don't have a portion. For example, ha'omer ein tchias ha'mesim min ha'torah. Ve'ein torah min ha'shamayim. Ve'apikoros. A person who denies the possibility of the revivification of the dead. A person who denies the authenticity of Torah as coming from Hashem, a divine document. And a person who is an apikoros. Apikoros, we'll see, has various manifestations of what that could be. A person who's scornful of a Talmud Chacham, or scornful of Halacha, or a person who ridicules Jewish holidays. The Gemara has a whole list of possibilities. Who's included in apikoros? Rabbi Akiva Omer, Af HaKorei Bisvarim HaChitzonim. Rabbi Akiva says it includes a person who studies outside texts. What does that mean, outside texts? External texts? Apocryphal works? Right, what would that include? It would include interpretations of Tanakh that are not based on our authentic Mesorah, not based on our Torah Sheba'al Peh. Reading these types of books leads a person to a falsification of Torah. So Rabbi Akiva says, if you study the Svarim Chitzonim, you also can lose your Chelek Tolam Haba. V'halocheish al hamaka, and a person who recites incantations, he recites charms, all sorts of utterances over a wound, and for example, he takes a pasuk in Chumash, trying to use it as some type of medicinal segula, and he chants it, kol amachla sher samti b'mitzrayim lo asim alecha, ki ani Hashem rofecha. He quotes that pasuk in Shemos Perek Tezvav, that all of the illness that Hashem has brought upon our enemies should not be brought upon us, because I am Hashem, your healer. A person who tries to do hocus-pocus stuff using psukim in that way also could lose their olam haba. Abishal Omer, afahoga es Hashem b'osi Yosef. Abishal says, you know who else can lose their olam haba? A person who recites the name of Hashem according to its letters. Obviously, we don't say Yudke Vavke. We don't even say the letters. Some Rishonim think that even saying the letters is problematic, which is why we say Yudke Vavke, or Yud and He, and then Vav, and then He. We don't say the four letters directly. And certainly, we don't pronounce the word as it's written, right? When we say Baruch Atah, we don't say Yudke Vavke. We don't sound it out as it's written. We say Ado. We say the Shem Adnos. So these are all various things that a person could lose their portion in Olam Haba. Even though the starting point is Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba, but if you reject Tchias HaMeisim, if you reject the authenticity of Torah, if you're an Apikoros and reject the Chachamim, if a person reads works of Hasidim, uses it as some type of magical incantation, or a person takes the name of God, cites it without the proper reverence or deference for what it is and how it's supposed to be enunciated, all of these things can cost a person their Olam Haba. How do you like the list? What do you think? Chana Chanach, you like the list? How about maybe Avodah Zarah? Like, we're kind of missing some big things, you know? I'm not saying it's a big deal. I believe it's a big deal to take a pasuk and to use it as some type of incantation and to think that it's going to provide healing. First of all, I would have thought maybe that's not such a bad thing. Maybe that's how you're supposed to use a pasuk. But some of the bigger principles of Torah seem to be missing here. Right? There's much bigger thing. I mean, there's no pasuk in Chumash that says you get kares for what? For reciting the a pasuk as a segula for some type of magical healing. It doesn't mention a person who's boal arayos. It doesn't mention a person who's machal Shabbos. It doesn't mention a person who worships idols. Says the Maharal, biur mishnah zos kasha ma'od. A shver mishnah. It's hard to understand. I don't understand. You're missing so many other averos that seemingly carry a lot of weight. Eich is kiru elu dvarim. I get it. You don't want to read certain, translations or interpretations of the Bible that are not authentic to our Masorah, to our Torah Shebaal Peh. But that's worse than, I don't know, bowing down to idols? Hakore bisvar machitzonim v'halochesh al hamaka. If you're putting together a list, these are the first things that come to mind. Aval shar chatam lo izkiru. You don't mention some of the bigger averos that we think about. When, if I asked you to compile a list of the most egregious things a Jew could do, would you say a person's a lochesh al hamaka? A person who recites some incantation over a wound, hoping to make some magical healing? That's like your top 10? Very strange. Vizeh kashya atzuma. The Maharal says, this is, in my mind, is a very significant question. So Kedarko B'Kodesh, the Maharal is going to unpack each of these things and show us that each one is more significant and maybe more broad than we would have initially imagined. Let's start with the big ones, which are, so to speak, easier for us to understand why they're significant. If you reject Tchiyas HaMeisim, if you reject Torah Min HaShamayim, if you're an apikores, and again, that includes a number of categories. Min HaDvarim HaShorim Yaduim Lakol. Let's start with this concept. What does it mean to lose your Olam Haba? And why is it that the starting point is that you are a Ben Olam Haba? Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelek L'Olam Haba. And these people compromise their Olam Haba. Why do I start with the knowledge that I am a Ben Olam Haba? So the Maharal says, it is well known to us. Shelo yikne ha'odam shum madrega, rak im hu muchan la'osa ha'madrega. A person cannot achieve any madrega, any type of success, unless he prepares himself for that madrega. Now immediately you're thinking spiritual success, which is true, but it's true about anything. You're not going to become a star athlete if you don't work hard on your basketball game. You're not going to become a top lawyer, right, if you don't spend time studying cases and understanding the nature of a trial and having the opportunity to practice. Without effort and without a proper preparation, you're not going to wake up one day and be a tzaddik. You're not going to be able to, you could download all the, you could download a Daf Yomi Shir and all of Shas, but you can't download Shas into your mind. A person can't acquire a madrega unless he prepares himself. You're not going to become a general in the army until you're first a private, until you're first a regular foot soldier. Umikol shekein imhu misnagid legamri laosa madrega, she'ein roi sheyiknosa. And certainly if a person actively opposes something, he's not going to be able to acquire it. So if I spoke out against, for years I ridiculed a particular company, and I said it's such a terrible company, and they don't know what they're doing over there. And then I apply for a job at that company. They're going to laugh in my face. You, who opposed us, who publicly challenged us, confronted us, now you think you're going to come in here and you're going to ask us for a job? So what the Maharal is laying as the groundwork is, it's not so much a punishment. If you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, and Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin talks about this a lot in his farm, it's not so much that if you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, your punishment is that you're going to lose your Olam Haba. Tchiyas HaMeisim is the ticket to get to Olam Haba. So if you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, then Tchiyas HaMeisim can't work for you. If you don't believe that Torah comes from Hashem, then Torah will not impact you the way that a divine document should. You've undermined the very power that it has. Right? If you don't work hard at Torah, you'll never learn to appreciate what Torah is. All the more so, if you oppose Torah, if you ridicule Torah, Torah's not going to defend you. Torah's not going to work for you. So if a person, again, is not muchan, he doesn't prepare himself to achieve a certain madrega, he'll never get there. If he opposes that thing entirely, he'll certainly never acquire it. Ulefichach, and therefore, kasher einuch hachamim b'mahus madrega solam haba. So when the Chachamim wanted to study the sugya called Olam Haba and to explain a bit how it works, Amru Eilu She'ein Lehem Chelek L'Olam Haba. They identified three individuals who, because they undermine the very process of Olam Haba, they lose their Olam Haba. It's not a punishment. It's just a reality. If you don't believe in it, how could it exist for you? So what does it mean, these three stages, so to speak, of Olam Haba? What are the three facets that, so to speak, create a possibility called Olam Haba? So explains the Maharal in his beautiful and very brilliant way. Vizek ki Olam Haba hu al yedei shlosha devarim. Olam Haba takes, three components, so to speak, to function, to work. Ha'echad hu ha'poel olam haba. You need someone to create a reality called olam haba. In other words, Hashem. You need someone to come up with an idea, someone to build an olam haba, someone to invent the idea, someone to be the poel, the one who is the source, the cause of olam haba. That's God. Ki lo nimtza davar me'atzo. It's not going to come about on its own. V'tzarech el zeh poel v'zehu echad. The first, again, of the three elements that we need to have an olam haba is we need an architect. We need an architect. To have an olam haza, you need an architect. Hashem made the world. So to have an olam haba, you need an architect. You need a builder. You need someone who's, so to speak, behind the cause. And that's Hashem, the foundation. Okay. Hasheni. Secondly, olam haba atzmo. Shenimtza min ha'ila shu apoel v'zeh hasheni. The architect has this idea of olam haba, but then he has to actually create olam haba. So the second step, obviously, in Olam Haba is not having only the builder of Olam Haba, but you need the Olam Haba Atzma, Olam Haba itself. Shenimtza, again, min ha'ila, that comes from the cause, it comes from the source, namely the Poel, the builder, the architect, Hashem, and that's the second stage, the actual creation, the formation, that place, whatever it means, called Olam Haba. So you have God who's making Olam Haba, you have Olam Haba, and now you need, of course, on the bottom what? Someone to receive Olam Haba. Who's it for? You need a recipient of Olam Haba. Hashlishi hamakabel shemakabel Olam Haba, hu ha'adam. You need a person who's going to be on the receiving end of Olam Haba. V'zeu dvar shlishi. Harei shlosha dvarim. So in total we have three things. We have ha'ila, we have the creator, the cause, the source, the makabel, we have the receiver, and then we have masha makabel. We have what it is that the receiver is receiving, which is again, Olam Haba itself. V'lakach amru, so now, says the Maharal, look how beautiful it is. The Maharal says, if the end game, if the goal is to get to Olam Haba, kol yisrael yesham chelik Olam Haba, and Olam Haba sort of requires to function properly, you need the acknowledgement that there is a creator of Olam Haba, you need an Olam Haba itself, and you need someone to receive Olam Haba, to go to Olam Haba. So maybe, says the Maharal, not maybe, definitely. The three examples that our Mishnah in Sanhedrin tell us about, those who don't have a chelek to Olam Haba, are presumably three negative traits or ideas that undermine these three categories. Namely, ein tchias hamesim in haTorah, a lack of belief in Torah itself, and an apikoris. Those three categories undermine these three components of Olam Haba. And let's see how the Maharal so beautifully lines it up. V'lakach amru elu gimel. And therefore, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, references these three categories. Kaasher yomar she'ein tchias hameisim in haTorah. If you reject tchias hameisim, so what does that correspond to? What do you think? Does tchias hameisim correspond to God? Does it correspond to the place of Olam Haba? Or does it correspond to the receiver of Olam Haba? What would you say? It's the receiver, right? Tchias hameisim. Tchias hameisim means that a person is going to come back to life and have the opportunity to exist in that place called Olam Haba. Hareza misnage l'olam haba mitzar hamakabel. If you don't believe in Tchias HaMesim, then you are rejecting, so to speak, the possibility of someone receiving that awesome gift called Olam Haba. Ki ein etzam Olam Haba rak ha'olam sheyavo achar tchia. What is Olam Haba? Without really getting into it, because it's a big machlokas, but Olam Haba is presumably life as it is, or will be, after life as we know it now. It's life after Tchia. It's not only that the dead will come back from the dead to live, but it means that if Mashiach came today, and we live through the Emos HaMashiach, the Ramban, for example, explains that, I think the Ramban explains this way, at the end of Mashiach, everyone dies, there's a judgment, and Hashem decides who gets to come back for Olam Haba. So you have to believe in the possibility of Tchia Sameisim to be a possible receiver of that great prize called Olam Haba. So a person who rejects Tchias HaMesim has disqualified himself from Olam Haba. Ukishiyomer she'in ha'adam chozer lehios chai kasher kvar meis. If one claims that once a person dies, he'll never come back. There's no such thing as living again. He's not able to experience life again. Ve'ein chozer ha'meis l'chayim. Ve'harei ein kat mekabel she'yakabel Olam Haba. So now he has disqualified himself. He's removed himself as a possible recipient of Olam Haba. Ulefichach. So therefore, one who denies Tchias HaMesim Harehu nevad mina olam haba. He has, by definition, disqualified himself as a candidate for olam haba. That's one category. V'cheinim omer she'ein Torah mina shamayim. What about a person who loses their olam haba according to Sanhedrin for not believing in Torah? What is that a rejection of? If you reject the existence of Torah, zeshu misnayi le'etzem olam haba. Rejecting the possibility of Torah is a rejection of olam haba itself. Why? Why is Torah olam haba? Ki kvar amarnu, because I've already explained to you, and that's what we've been learning in the last three or four prakim, that the way to get to olam haba is through Torah. Not through philosophy, not through the study of the natural sciences, as important as they are, as the Maharal did explicitly state, after, you know, picking on the philosophers for quite a while. But the only way for a person to get there, ki haTorah motzia asa'od min hateva, it's the Torah which lifts us above physical reality, and it's the Torah that allows us to have the possibility, senes lo madrega nivdelis, it allows us to acquire a level of spiritually abstract living. And it's through that, v'kasher ein Torah min hashamayim. If you deny Torah, if you deny the blueprint, so then you don't have the tools to actually get to Olam Haba. It's a rejection of Olam Haba itself. You'll never get to that place without the tools to get there, without the mitzvahs and the Torah that get you there. Ein kan madrega nivdelis. You don't have, it's the Torah that creates that Olam Haba existence. Ve'eich yichna Olam Haba. She'ena olam haba rak kinyana olam anivdal menagashmi. Olam haba is the acquisition of a world that is elevated, that is abstract in the sense that it is spiritual and removed from physicality. That's what Torah does to us. It makes us spiritual. It makes us godly. Ulefichach kasher ein Torah min hashamayim. If you deny the truth of Torah, ein kan olam haba hanivdal. So you have essentially destroyed olam haba. Yes, Chanuch Chanuch, I'm listening.
I find this one hard to fully understand, knowing that there's no Olam Haba in the Torah. If you're right, saying that that's a rejection of Torah, then you would think that there'd be something in the Torah question about Olam Haba.
Right.
You know, I understand that after you learn Torah, that's kind of like the gateway to Olam Haba. Right. But if there's no mention of it at all, I find this one, I don't want to say that he's...
It's a strong question. It's a strong question. The only answer I can think of is that your question reveals to us the greatest answer. You know why the Torah, a new answer to the question, right? It's an age-old question. Why does the Torah not talk about Olam Haba? So you know how we can answer based on Maharal language? Because the Torah is Olam Haba, right? The Torah doesn't have to talk about Olam Haba. The Torah is Olam Haba. That is the entirety of the Torah. To talk about it as other almost makes it sound like there's some disconnect between Torah and Olam Haba. What the Maharal has been teaching us is, to the degree that you absorb Torah, that is Olam Haba. Torah is Olam Haba. So you don't have to talk about it as something, outside of yourself. That would be strange. If the Torah spoke about Olam Haba, it makes it sound like it's somehow an existence that is somehow, distinct from Torah. By not speaking about it, it must be, where is Olam Haba in the Torah? It must be that Olam Haba is the Torah. And that's really what the Maharal is saying here, right? To the degree that you believe that Torah is Olam Haba, right? It's not just a ticket. It's not a tool to access Olam Haba. It really is Olam Haba. It creates Olam Haba. So if you deny Torah, you have destroyed Olam Haba. You rejected Olam Haba itself. I think there's a depth to that. Torah doesn't talk about Olam Haba as something other than itself, because that's it. That's the it. To talk about it as a place, as something that, comes after, that implies that there's some disconnect between the Torah and Olam Haba. And the Torah is the very substance which is Olam Haba. I think you could say something like that. Va'od, but it's a good question. I like the question. I hear why on the surface it's a very strong question. Va'od ki Olam Haba hu achayim hanitzchim, and furthermore, Olam Haba is eternal life, right? Not just, again, the process of coming back to life, not just the tchias ameisim, but Olam Haba is chayim nitzchim. It is eternal life, and that's what Torah is. V'kasher ein Torah, ein kan chayim nitzchim. Without Torah, there is no eternal life. Torah is life itself. Ki hu chayecha v'orech yamecha. And therefore, when we talk about life, right, real life means a life that doesn't have the possibility of death, eternal life. And that's what Torah is. Torah is true chayim. Ki hi chayecha v'orech yamecha. It's true. Torah is true life. And therefore, Torah is olam haba. V'lakach ha-Torah hi etzem olam haba. Again, in the Maharal language, Torah is Olam Haba. It's the essence of Olam Haba. What about the third example in our Mishnah? A person who loses their Olam Haba is the Apikoris. So, Chever, we know who that is, right? Who's the Apikoris? The Apikoris is the one who doesn't attack, right? Again, the Tchias HaMeisim corresponds to the person's ability to exist. And Torah is Olam Haba. Apikoris rejects God. He rejects the source. And therefore, if there's no source, if there's no creator of Olam Haba, then you can't, if you don't believe in the one who made Olam Haba, then you don't believe in Olam Haba, and you'll never be the recipient of it. An Apikoris is Misha Eino Ma'amin Sheyesh Kan Ila V'Siba Rishona. The Apikoris doesn't believe that there is a cause. There is an Ila. Ila means a cause, a source, right? There's a Siba. The Siba means the one who's the cause, right? Siba and Misovev, the Maharal always talks about. Siva is the cause, and the Sovev is the effect. So the Ila and the Siba, Rishona, the starting point, which is God, if you don't believe in that, so then obviously it's not a punishment. It's not you're bad for not believing in God, so you lost your Olam Haba. You have undermined the structure of Olam Haba. Olam Haba collapses based on your value system. U'lefichach nikra apikores milashon hefker. Now I love this line. This is really based on a Rambam. Then apikores, where does the word apikores come from? What does the word mean? Right, a lot of different interpretations. It's a Greek word. Says the Maharal, apikores, some explain, is milashon hefker. What does hefker mean? Ownerless. A world that is what? That is chaotic. There's no cause. There's no source. There's no one controlling or directing. It's hefker. The whole world is hefker. It's crazy. It's chaos. Ki ein alav ol Hashem yisbarach. Because it's not under the yoke, it's no longer under the responsibility of Hashem, of a creator. Shehu siba rishona, v'zeu al yedei minus. And again, this is heresy. This is the opposite of amuna, a person who lives a life of hefkeris. And that's really, a person who rejects God, really doesn't have that structure. It really is a life that's hefker. Anything and everything becomes possible when you don't believe in Hashem. Okay, so the Maharal has begun to explain this again. This very famous teaching in Sanhedrin. The starting point is every Jew is custom made for Olam Haba. But if you undermine the Makabel, Tchias HaMeisim, if you undermine the Olam Haba itself, the Torah, or if you undermine the one who created Olam Haba, namely Hashem, by being an Apikoris, so it's not that you're being punished and you're having your Olam Haba taken away from you as a punishment. It's just a fact. If you undermine the very notion of Olam Haba, how could you receive something that you yourself have been misnaged to, that you yourself have rejected? Okay? All right, so we'll continue with Mirtz Hashem next time. We'll go a little further. We'll see some of the specific examples of an apikoris and how that undermines Hashem. An apikoris, the Gemara says, is a person who makes fun of Talmidei Chachamim. Why does making fun of rabbis undermine Hashem? Why does making fun of halacha? Why is that an attack on Hashem? Maybe that's an attack on Torah. Maybe it's an attack on people who learn Torah. Right? Maharal will explain to us in a more detailed way why the apikoris and the things that he targets is really an attack on the creator of the world himself. Okay?